Think about this.
Our brains change.
Memory is an amazing.
What you think is in
our
there
brains
is
aren't
really
finished. They're not fully cooked yet.
You go with your heart.
We don't have any idea why
we're
doing
so smart.
Most of the things that we're doing.
But here's the deal.
Your beliefs about the virus will not affect the impact of that virus on your body, though it might affect the behaviors you perform that will influence whether you are likely to come into contact with that virus. I'm Art Markman.
I'm Bob Duke.
I'm Rebecca McEnroy. And we are more than 6 feet apart.
On separate heads, two guys.
Today, the Mandela Effect.
There's a phenomenon called the Mandela Effect, which is this idea that there are lots of things that we may believe to be true as a society that aren't true. It started with an observation that there were a number of people who believed that Nelson Mandela had died in prison in the 1980s, when in fact he lived, got out of prison, became president of South Africa. But there was just a kind of consensual group belief about this. And the observation is that there are a number of things that as a society we may come to believe were true, even though they're not.
This even extends beyond purposeful disinformation that might be promulgated on media or television or whatever, is that as we think about shared experiences, I mean, probably most people in the United States know or knew who Nelson Mandela was, and so the name was not unfamiliar to people. But it's interesting how once some bit of information gets into the communication system, even if it's just talking to people you know in your group, those kinds of things become true. And you know, if you think about just in human existence, it would be quite impossible for anyone to have to personally verify every piece of information that comes their way. I mean, we have a lot of information that we encounter every day. And of course, what many people choose to do is to decide what sources they tend to trust. And if you know somebody for a long time and that person tells you something, well, you think, well, that's probably true, because usually when this person tells me something, it's usually accurate. But often, again, when things sort of leak in and there's really no incentive to verify it at all, I mean, really, it has no effect on my day-to-day existence, whether this is a true fact or not, why would I actually spend the time to actually investigate further to determine whether this is actually true?
One of the reasons for this too has to do with the way that we communicate with each other. So whenever you speak a sentence, that sentence has some given information in it and some new information. So the given information is the stuff that presumably we all agree on. And then the new information is the stuff that is adding a new piece of information. So if I say to you right now, Bob is wearing a Hawaiian shirt, then the given information is that you know who Bob is, which all of you do because you're listening to this show. And the new information is that I'm telling you which shirt that he's wearing. Normally, we pay more attention to and are more skeptical of the new information in a sentence than we are of the given information. And so a very clever trick that can be played is to try to slip controversial assumptions into the given part of the sentence. So if I were to say, super genius Bob is wearing a Hawaiian shirt today.
Getting warmer.
Well, there you go. Then, you know, while I have slightly underestimated his intelligence, we're assuming that we know who super genius Bob is. And so we're not really vetting that piece of information. You're going, oh, he's wearing a Hawaiian shirt today. When you remember back on this, you'll start thinking, man, that Bob is really smart. Because we slip that piece of information in the part of the sentence that you're not paying as much attention to. Another piece to this too is that we often remember the overall evaluation of something rather than some of the specifics underlying that evaluation. So we've talked about this a little bit in the past relative to something that's called the change of standard effect. And generally speaking, we remember those evaluations. And so if we think, for example, here we are in the midst of the COVID-19 pandemic, and you know, one of the things that's been rapidly changing is the number of deaths in the United States as a result of the virus. And so A scant 2 weeks ago, far fewer than 10,000 people had died from this from the virus. In fact, I can't even do this the math on this. I'd have to go back, but I think 2 weeks ago maybe only a few thousand had died. As of today, when we're taping this, over 30,000 people have died, and so what we believe to be a lot has changed a lot just in a fairly short period of time. And so the fact that we remember just the evaluation, a lot or a little, means that we often lose information about some of the specifics, which may lead us to misremember what happened even a short period of time ago, because we're not remembering some of the very specific information. And that can lead lots of people to have a similar experience in what they're remembering.
Yeah. Well, one of the really interesting things that we've talked about on other shows and other contexts is the extent to which semantic information gets into our head without a tag of its source. So there are a lot of things that we have in our memory that we couldn't possibly tell you where we learned that, or who told us that, or what source was that. Now, that's an interesting thing to think about, right? Because if, in fact, you can get somebody to notice some idea or some purported fact, and now it's in their memory, right? And it now is, because it's in their memory, they might be able to recall it. And one of the things that we've talked about on other shows is that, you know, being able to recall things easily makes them seem more likely to be true, is that now we have this thing that's in our head, it's in our memory, we can recall it, and if we're prompted to recall it over several iterations, well, then pretty soon, this is something that seems just as true as other things that are in our head, where we can actually say, and here's where I learned this, and this is what evidence there is for this fact or this purported fact or whatever. And, you know, it's an interesting thing to think about, that disconnect between what we know and how we know that we know that, which are two really separate things. Yeah.
Next week, we'll talk about things you can't unsee with Dr. Art Markman and Dr. Bob Duke. David Alvarez is typically our engineer, and I'm Rebecca McEnroy. I produce Two Guys on Your Head, currently from my closet in Austin, Texas.